today I'm going to talk about prayer. Prayer for today. A prayer I personally prayed and some parts of my life. And just before we start, I'll just start with a prayer. Father, I would ask you today to just help me to bring forth those words that you want me to speak. I pray, Lord, that you would empower me by that Spirit within me to bring forth your truths and your words. I would ask you, Lord, to be with all of us and open our hearts and minds to your truths and to what you want us to hear today. And I pray, Lord, that we would only hear what you want us to hear. They would not necessarily hear what I say, but they would hear what you are saying through me. And I pray that you would speak through me this morning. In Jesus' name. Right. The prayer I'm going to talk about is in Proverbs chapter 30. Today, many people are praying the prayer of Jabez, which is from 1 Chronicles 4:10. We don't need to go there. It's one verse, and you might want to look at it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the prayer of Jabez, but it's mainly just about blessing. And I understand, I know there was a book written on it. I understand there's now another book being written on just this one verse. And it's one of the things, but I myself believe that a prayer for today should be the prayer of Agar, which is in Proverbs 30. It's in Proverbs 30, it's verses 7 and 9. And it's a prayer close to my heart. But before sharing on this, let's start at the beginning. I first heard this prayer of Agar in a sermon. And at that time, the verse that drew me, because I don't know about you, but when people are giving sermons, I tend to start looking at the verses before where they've started. And I also like to have a look at the verses after where they sort of finish. I'm a great believer in it's the Word of God that's speaking, and in this case, I was really struck by the verses just before the prayer. And it was the verse that said in verse 6, it said, "Surely you know his name." That really struck me, because I thought to myself, whose name? And so, is it in verse 4, is it? Sorry. Surely you know his name. And so I'll just read those verses. I'll read from 1 and I'll read right through to 6 and we'll come back. The words of Agar, the son of Jakuf, the oracle, the man declares to Ittal and Ukal, or uncle, or whatever we would like to say. I'm a great person when I actually read the Bible to myself. I change them to names that I understand, you know, like Agar, the son of Jack. And I'm sure God doesn't mind. I have enough trouble with the English language. And just for any new people, if you are having trouble understanding me, it helps to sometimes add a H. Okay. "Surely I am more stupid than any man, and I do not have the understanding of a man. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of the Holy One, who has ascended into heaven and descended, who has gathered the winds in his fists, who has wrapped the waters in his garment, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, or his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you, and you prove to be a liar." In verses 2 to 4, Agar reflects on man's inability to comprehend the infinite God. I could relate to this when I read this, you know. especially that first bit about being stupid. I've always thought I'm stupid, and I've been told it quite a few times as well. But the other thing was that it is hard to comprehend God. You know, we always try and, you know, we have this picture of him in our minds of what God is, but we don't really understand him. In my Bible, there's a thing about looking at Job chapters 38 to 41, and we won't go and read them because they're quite long chapters, but you might like to read them sometime. And in there, God is talking to Job, and he says to Job, you know, you can't really comprehend me, you know, because I'm so vast and so wonderful. You know, all the things that he's created. I mean, just the fact that, you know, the earth is where it is, you know, in the old plan of things is, you know, to me, how he put it there and everything else, and it all works in order. You know, for someone who's not very orderly and not, you know, that's, that is, I can't comprehend God in that sense. And yet, Agar here was a man that he was said he was stupid. He had this not, he couldn't really fully understand God, and yet God had revealed to him something so wonderful when he talked about he had a son. I mean, we're in the Old Testament, and it was revealed to him, and Agar is being prophetic in announcing that God has a son who came down from heaven to be our instructor and saviour, and then ascended into heaven to be our advocate. The Messiah is here spoken of as a person distinct from the Father, but his name was very secret, the Great Redeemer. Surely you know his name. That was, as I say, that was the thing to me. That's what really got me to start to read Proverbs 30. And of course, the next thing that follows on is that verse 6, where God warns us about adding to God's word. And I just want to say that God speaks about that also in Revelations 22:18. And it's, you know, supplementing God's word with man's speculations is foolish business. And what I really want to stress before I get into the prayer part, what I really want to stress is there is a famine for God's word today. Within the church, within the body of Christ, we have so many things to read, and if we're not careful, we eat the wrong stuff, because where there's a famine, that means people are hungry, and when you're hungry, you eat anything. Okay, and that's what's my big worry. Where there's a famine for the word of God, people are reading, as I see it, and eating, which is the same thing. They're feeding their mind, and that leads to their heart, and they're feeding their mind sometimes with the wrong stuff. There's so much out there that's got the label of Christianity, but does it really add up to all the Word of God? And that's the thing we have to do. That's the thing we have to test. And there is a great famine for the Word of God in the church and in society. We're throwing the word out of society, and that's the real shame, and it's bringing chaos. I'm sure that the reason our hospital systems aren't as good as what they used to be is because there is not that word of God in it. They're not based anymore. Our government's not based on a fear of God or the word of God, and it's the same with the schools. Once you throw God out, which is what a lot of nations are trying to do, you get chaos. Because knowledge comes through the fear of God, not through study so much. Right, this leads me to the prayer of Agar, verses 7 and 9. And I'll just read those. Two things I ask of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and still, and profane the name of my God. There is a remarkable similarity between this prayer and several parts of the Lord's Prayer. That's what first struck me about it. The Lord's Prayer is talking about, you know, feed us, our daily bread. This is talking about, in a sense, feeding me with the food that is my portion. It also talks about, you know, keep me from the evil one. It says in here, keep deception and lies from me. So there is a similarity. And I believe Agur's prayer will always be a wise one to pray, though seldom prayed. And as someone who's prayed this prayer, because that's what happened next with my study of the chapter 30, there's two notes of caution. One, confer with your wife before praying. And the second, is this the desire of your heart? Because God answers prayer. I'll just read you two scriptures to confirm this. Jeremiah 29:12 says, you don't have to go there, just, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. God says he will listen to us, and I know he does. Sometimes even God takes our thoughts. We don't actually have to pray. We just have to think sometimes. And that's a prayer, and God answers it. That has happened in our lives. I said I was going to share a few things. Sheila once, we used to do, when we first came to the Lord, and we were a lot younger, and our children were a lot younger, we had this thing, I had this, a great thing, I was going to have the gift of love. You see? And, because that was the greatest gift in chapter 13. You see, when I read my Bible, I took things and I was very foolish. I took these things and I said, right, gift of love, greatest thing, I want the gift of love, God. God then put us into fostering of children. Great gift of love, that is. You really find out whether you've got the gift of love at all when you foster other people's children. But one of the things was, it was becoming quite hard on us, and Sheila was at home, and we just had one lot of foster children move out, and we were expecting another lot of foster children within a week or so. And Sheila was there busy doing whatever she does when she's at home, and she was thinking, and she said, she was just thinking, it would be nice if we could get away. It would be nice to have a holiday before we start again, but we can't afford a holiday, so we won't be able to go away. But it would have been nice to have been able to have this thing. I came home that lunchtime, not knowing that she'd have been thinking it would have been nice to have a holiday. And I came home and I said, you'll never believe it, I said. The firm's decided I should go round and see all the branches. And we had 7 branches at that time, spread right out throughout the North Island. And she said, and I said, they're going to give us a car, and I'm to take you with me. And we're to go, and we're going to stay at hotels, and we're going to go round and visit all the branches. And all I've got to do is go and visit the branches. And it'll probably take about an hour each day in each branch. And she said, God's heard my prayer. She was thinking it, and then it had become a prayer, and God had listened, and he knew. And he'd raised that all in the morning. So God does hear. In Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's a wonderful, isn't it? Hey? He's told me some wonderful things. The most wonderful thing he's told me is that I can do nothing. But he can do so much through me, if I allow him. And if I learn of him. And so we come to the prayer. I did pray this prayer and as I say, confer with your wife. But it wasn't such a thing that I prayed a prayer that, you know, when I was sort of, say, wealthy. And I have been wealthy. I think I've been wealthy at some times in my life. But I actually prayed this prayer when I was unemployed. I was unemployed for 5 years. And it was at that time that I prayed this prayer. I prayed this prayer and all because, and I think one of the important parts of it is lies and deception. And I was going through a very, very time at that time when I was very confused because I was unemployed. And a lot of the preaching I was hearing at that time, I wasn't here, I wasn't at this place. A lot of the preaching I was hearing at that time was that if you're not blessed, you're not saved. And if you're not blessed, you're not with God. And, you know, and I was querying all that. And I actually, and I've shared this before, you know, I did get to a stage where I probably would have walked away. But God, you don't walk away from God. You're always in his presence, and that's another sermon. You cannot walk away from God. You may walk, but God does not walk. You with me? God is always with you wherever you go. But that's another sermon. So, where are we? I've been asked to share a few things, and the reason why I'm sharing them is when I said this prayer, it wasn't as if I knew that it would be that we wouldn't have anything, because I knew of God's provision. When we were doing this fostering and also other things, I had quite a good salary, but one of the problems with my salary was we were paid monthly, and you probably all know when you've got young children, you get paid monthly. You either have feast or famine. You know, at the beginning of the month when you just got paid, it's all feast, and then at the end of the month, just before you get paid, it's all famine, because you've run out of money. And we used to have lots of visitors, and all Tauranga is a bit like that. We used to live in Gisborne at the time these things happened, and everybody seemed to come to us, you know, and we used to have visitors. But I remember one day, we got up one morning, and Sheila said, "We're right out of toothpaste," and we had about another, I think it was 5 days for payday, and things were really tight. And I said, "Well, we'll pray for toothpaste." And she said, "You can't pray for toothpaste." She said, "You can pray for cabbages and people bring them, but," she said, "you can't pray for toothpaste." She said, "You know, I mean, how are you going to get toothpaste?" I said, "Well, we'll pray." I said, "I mean, we were very young Christians at this time, you know, I mean, don't, you know, we pray for everything." So I thought we should pray for everything. I mean, our children, as they used to say, we were, you know, they could never understand why we prayed for car parks, but they weren't driving. They didn't have the problem of finding somewhere to park. Coming back to this, I said I pray for toothpaste. I'd get on my bike to go to work, and I said I'll pray for toothpaste. And I said, "You pray for toothpaste," and so she did. When I got home at lunchtime, toothpaste had arrived, and I mean that. It was I will never forget it, because I did ride my bike praying for toothpaste, but I was a bit, you know, I mean, who's going to bring toothpaste? You know, how God's going to do this? You know. And I thought, it's not that important, really. We can go without toothpaste. But no, a friend of Sheila's, and a friend of mine, she, having a quiet time that morning, really got this real thing that she should go and get some toothpaste and bring it to us. But she thought, it can't be right. God must be wrong, you know? But she thought she was really, it really kept on her all morning. So she decided, right, I better do it. So she went and bought some toothpaste. She bought a box of chocolates and some flowers and brought them round to Sheila. You see? And this was it. She felt much more comfortable with a box of chocolates and some flowers and just a tube of toothpaste. And of course she gave these things to Sheila, and Sheila was absolutely over the moon, because there was a tube of toothpaste, and she shared with the lady, Lenore. You know, you've just answered prayer. And I think it will probably stick with Lenore to her dying day, like it has with us. That she heard from God and she fulfilled God's wish. And that's something I want to bring over to you today. You know, sometimes what God seems to be saying to us seems ridiculous. You know, it seems so small, so insignificant, it can't be right. But sometimes it is. And it's sometimes some little thing that can change somebody's whole life. The toothpaste changed my life. I had no fear anymore that God couldn't provide what we needed. And that's the thing. And I don't want to try and get into a prosperity thing. I just want to share one other thing that happened. We used to have lots of people come and visit us. And because we was on a monthly thing, sometimes people came when it was famine. And we would be struggling. And that's okay. That's one of the things I want to point out about this prayer. I haven't become rich, but I haven't become poor. God has always provided. And like this, we had a couple come and we thought, oh, that'd be good. They're going home on Thursday. That'd be lovely. That'd be great. They'll probably go in the morning and we will probably just manage to get through. And everything's okay. Well, Wednesday night came and they said to us, oh, we're not going to go straight away in the morning, we'll go after lunch. And I thought, that's silly, because they're going to Auckland from Gisborne. I wouldn't have gone after lunch. And I said, don't you want an early start? They said, no, we'd rather stay and have lunch. And that way we'll see Bob and see him at lunchtime. And it won't be such a rush in the morning when he's... So, okay. They got up and... Sheila and I, in our quiet time, prayed that we would have something for lunch, you know, but we didn't really have anything. I mean, I'm being honest here. Anyway, the people then said, must have realised something, you know, that there wasn't anything, and then they said, oh, we're going shopping and we'll get something for lunch. And Sheila said, oh, that'd be lovely, you know. And she thought, oh, there we are, God's answered the prayer, you know. Okay. But that wasn't the way God was doing it. Another friend of ours had just had a big family thing the night before. But they were going away to the South Island on the Thursday morning. So they parcelled everything up and thought, we'll take it to Bob and Sheila's. Because they could probably do with the food. So they came while these people were out shopping. And there was loads of stuff. And we had a big table full of food. It was really lovely. And these people, when they arrived and saw all this, and they said, where did this come from? And of course Sheila said, oh, God provided. You see, we prayed this morning for lunch and God provided. And I must admit, we were in those early days where, you know, the prosperity thing was sort of it's still preached. And we were tied up in that in a way, you know, that we thought, And I don't want to preach that. I preach that God provides. Because, as I said, after this period, I had a period of 5 years of unemployment. But in all of that, God provided. And that's what I really want to say. God does provide your needs. But it's not a prosperity thing. And it's not on how much you give, either. So really what I wanted to share is that because of these things in our lives, and I knew I could pray the prayer of Agar, and also, as I say, he answered my prayer about lies and deception, because he really did bring home to me that what I was hearing was wrong at that time. And then thanks to God's intervention, I will share it again, I have shared it before. Somebody heard a speaker, Charles Price, who was from Cape and Ray. He spoke over the Cape and Ray over at Cambridge. Some people that only knew us very vaguely, we've become very close friends since. They heard him and thought that we should hear him. And he was going to speak at Waikanae that following Easter. And so they wanted us to go to the Waikanae camp, and I didn't really want to go. I'd got to that stage where I wasn't really interested in any more speakers. I was just reading the word, but I was really wondering what things were. Anyway, they were persistent that we go and said they would pay for us. And when you're unemployed and someone offers you a Easter break in Waikanae, and I knew the food wasn't bad, I said to Sheila, well, we'll go. I said, and if the speaker's on about prosperity, we won't listen to him. We'll just go for a walk in the thing. But it would be a weekend away, fully paid, and we might as well take advantage of it, you know. So that was the reason we went. But praise God, God had other plans. Charles Price spoke on about how it's scriptural to suffer. It's scriptural to be unemployed. It's scriptural, you know, to have hard times, because it's from those that we certainly learn the character of God. And of course, this is what this prayer is all about. It's having the right character. Not too much that we forget God, or too little that we would do something that would profane his name. And God is able. He will provide. I heard of, and I can't remember the, it was somebody who was part of the family of the, one of the black Americans who was in the fight for the freedom of blacks. But she was speaking on national radio to Brian Edwards. And Brian Edwards was on about how poor she was, and that she had known as a child, she had known poverty, and that would been, that was the chrysalis for, you know, pushing her. And she was adamant that she had not known poverty. She was adamant that she had only been poor. And he couldn't understand. He said, "What's the difference between being poor and poverty?" And she said a very interesting thing. She said, "We were poor, but we were not poverty, because we had hope. We knew Jesus Christ." And that really spoke to me, because that's what poverty is. That's when you're poor without hope. You can be poor, but not have poverty. And that really spoke to me. And I think this is what this part of this prayer is. That there might be times when you are poor, but you won't have poverty, because you always have your hope in Jesus Christ. And God will provide what you need. It may not be to your understanding of what you need, but it will be what you need. And so all of this has taught me, as I shared once before, the secret of Philippians 4:11-12. To be content in whatever circumstances. And talking about contentment, we need to remember 1 Timothy 6:6-8. And that says, "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." And I do think covering means a place to live as well. So. But the main reason for praying this prayer today, I believe, more than any other time, is to keep lies and deception from us. It's interesting to note in Proverbs 6, we won't go there, which states the things the Lord hates. And one of them is a lying tongue. And I might actually do something on that one day, because that's another sermon. But it's quite interesting if you go to, I just recommend, you might like to look at Proverbs 6. It talks about the things God hates, and it's surprising that they all tend to be around lying and deception, and which is an interesting thing. So we do need to keep lies and deception far from us, and I think one of the only ways is to pray. We need to pray every time we pick up the Word of God, that God will show us these truths. And we need to check whatever we're being taught, the same as what you're being taught today from me. You need to check it, that it adds up to the whole Word of God, not just part of the Word of God. We can be very clever people up here. We can choose scriptures that say the same as what we want to say, but do what we're saying actually add up to what the whole Word of God says from beginning to end? And that the only way to know that is to read your Bible. And as I've said before, I recommend to be an healthy Christian, you don't treat the Bible as snack food. You have to spend time in it. And I understand that for some people that's a problem. But we can take comfort, because I think it's in Isaiah 40, God said he leads the nursing ewes gently. And I often felt that when we had children, when our children were younger, and we didn't have time to, probably a lot of our real study of the Word was when we used to meet. There was three families of us. We used to get together on a Friday night and have soup, and the kids would play games, and we would just get round the Word of God, and we made lots of mistakes, and we came up with lots of funny things, but God was in it all, and we learnt a lot and all over the time. It was just being in the Word of God. So I do recommend that. So be careful what you read, as I was saying at the beginning. There's a lot of Christian books out there. There's a lot of good Christian books, especially some of the old ones. I read quite a bit of Ironside. I like Reynolds Showers. I like Tozer. There are older people. But just check what you are reading. Does it add up to what you understand your Bible says? Does it add up to what you believe, that you're saved by grace? Or is it trying to add something to you? Is it trying to bring you under something you have to do to earn that salvation? One of the things that, you know, that was what I was under. That was when I prayed this prayer, that's what I came free of. That I was trying to be what I could never be. I was trying to be a Christian. You know, the only thing I can really be is allow Christ to be in me. Christ is Christ. I can allow him to be in me, Christ. And people might see Christ in me, and I hope they do. But I can never be Christ. Are you with me? I can allow Christ to be Christ in me, but I could never. I tried it, and it's no good. You can't do it. It's an absolute. I know that. I mean, I was, you know, when I first became an early Christian, I was in the Catholic Church, which is a load of, and that's another real worry. That's a real lie and deception. There's a lot of churches now being drawn into that terrible web, you know, of the Catholic Church. Catholicism is marching, making big inroads. There's lots now who don't believe that there was a need for reformation. And that really worries me. Having been a Catholic, there's a lot of nice Catholics. Don't get me wrong. They're wonderful people. I was one. Okay. But we're not talking about the people. We're talking about what the Catholic Church preaches. And it ain't the true gospel. But as I was saying, it's not, you can't do it. And that's, I want to share that. That was my real thing that set me free from lies and deception. That I couldn't do it. I trust in God. I have been saved by grace alone. Grace that I believe in. grace that's poured out, grace that's always there. Grace, I receive grace. I need grace every day. You know? Because I'm human and I'm not yet perfect. One day, which will be a real miracle. You know? We've got a little sign on the fridge at the moment. It says, sin is the disease, Christ is the cure, and the result is a miracle. Well, one day we will all see the miracle of me being truly Christ-like. When we're all changed in the twinkling of an eye. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Eh? Right, the last few bits and then it's all over. Alan will be back shortly. The other thing I want to say was, to be a healthy Christian, don't treat the Bible as snack food. It always fascinates me. I saw a program. I love cows. Don't ask me why, but cows, they chew the cud, they're in the field, they sit down, they walk up, they're very, very relaxed. Wonderful life, cow. But then I saw a program, and this scientist told me, it was on one of those kids' programs early in the morning, you know, where they write in their letters and they ask their questions and they get their answers. One of the questions was, when do cows sleep? And I thought to myself, well, that's a silly thing. Cows sleep at night when we sleep, you know. And then the answer was, they don't really sleep. They might sleep for about 2 hours. They have to do about 22 hours of chewing the cud to make milk. So, you know, that's why it's so lovely, full cream milk, real milk, you know, that stuff we used to have, you know. So cows chew the cud. And it's time consuming, yes. A waste of time? No. Not if you want to give good milk, is it? And the phrase chewing the cud is used to describe a process of meditation. So meditation is more than reading the Bible and believing it. It's applying scripture to everyday life. And I've spoken on that before. I've said, you know, just take one scripture and live it. It will make a world of a difference to your life. My children have taken one scripture and they live it. And it says that I'm not allowed to charge interest on the money they borrow. I just had to share that. And I don't know if all of you knew that was in the scriptures, but it's there. Right. But in conclusion, and as a bit of a challenge, please accept the following scriptures in love. I want to read to you Paul's words to Timothy from 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malice gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Then go down to verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. We heard about good works last week with Fraser. Remember, they are God's good works. It says in Scripture, God has planned good works for us to fulfill. I believe the toothpaste was a good work that someone fulfilled. It's not, you don't have to think of what good works you've got to do. God has got good works for you to do. Learn to hear his voice. I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God, of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. They're wonderful words, because they're the words of God. Paul wrote them in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wrote them to Timothy, but they're the same words to us, because I believe we are in the last days. And we do need to stand firm in the word, stand firm in the truths, not be taken in, and to preach the word. Now, as Major Ian Thomas says, and I'm a great believer in what he said, and I've taken it to heart, preach Christ, always preach Christ, and if necessary, say something. So live a life, let Christ live in you. That's my prayer today. And I pray that you might consider also the prayer of Agur. Thank you for bearing with me.